All right. Hi everyone, welcome to the InfoSec Prep OSC AMA. We are joined here by Banju El Grande Cangrejo, aka the Crab, Docs AVG, and Poppy. Sorry, not Poppy. All right, so I'll go ahead and let each of the people I mentioned here give a brief intro about themselves, why they decided to go for the OSCE, and why don't we go ahead and start with Banju.
My name's Sam. So I'm a bachelor student doing my computer science, and recently I just completed my OSCE certifications, and I'm 22 years old.
Cool. All right. Thanks for that. Docs AVG, hopefully you got your mic. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, hopefully it's working.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Awesome. I've been in pen testing and office.
Think we lost you.
Yeah, push to talk on the iPad's kind of sucking.
Want to give that another shot? All right, while we're waiting for Docs AVG to fix his mic there, why don't we go ahead and all right, why don't we go ahead and just start with some of the questions while he gets that going. So in no particular order, I collected some of those questions that were asked in the channel previously that was open for about a week. Some were pre-selected for just because they seemed like they would generate some good conversation from the panelists here. Some were selected probably because it was just going to provide others who are looking to either start their course or who are about to possibly take their exam, and be pretty beneficial for them. So without further ado, the first question here that I've selected was, how much prior experience with binary exploitation do you have before taking the OSCE? And why don't we go ahead and start with you, Banju, since you have a working mic here.
All right. Before I enrolling my OSCE certifications, I does not have any experience on the assembly language or exploitations part. Before I enroll my OSCE, I went through a lot of blogs, and they talk about SLAE certifications, and this is a very good start to learn the assembly language, and you will learn a lot of things starting from at, subt, mod, and more in that course. So it's a very good preparations to OSCE certifications.
All right, and then Docs AVG, did you helpfully fix your mic?
We'll give this a shot again. Push and talk on the iPad kind of sucks. What was the question?
Yeah, so the question again was how much prior experience did you have with binary exploitation before starting your OSCE?
Not really a lot. I mean, I've been was pretty familiar with buffer overflows, having done that for quite a while. But as far as actually sitting down and looking at it on Windows, not really a lot. I did Sam's class for probably about 6 months before the OSCE attempt, and that's pretty much the extent of the experience.
All right, cool. And then we have El Grande Cangrejo, aka the Crab.
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot of experience. I had some going into the course, but definitely not on the level of like being a professional or anything like that. But yeah, so there was some experience there, just not quite what I needed before going into the course.
Awesome. All right. And then Grab, why don't you go ahead and give your quick intro since I forgot about you in the initial introductory part.
Yeah, so if you've seen me around, Kill Crab. I'm a senior network security engineer for a moderately sized company. I do red team and penetration testing for them, and I just recently started doing that within the last couple of months. But aside from that, like long walks on the beach and whispering softly into all of your ears.
Awesome. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next question here. I'm just going to keep jumping around in terms of who I ask first. And all right, so the next question, and I'll start with you, Crab, is what resources did you find most helpful pre-OC or CTP studies? So things like Vuln Server and other exploitation binaries.
I think the biggest resource that kind of bridged the gap between finishing OSCP and starting OSCE was for sure the SLE course by Pentester Academy. And the reason being, like I said, I had some experience with binary exploitation and some experience with assembly, but you really need to have like a solid fundamental understanding of both assembly and just general exploitation concepts before going into the course. So SLE will definitely bridge that for you if you've never been exposed to assembly. But beyond that, there's a kind of like a shortcut. Well, not really a shortcut, but just kind of like a guided preparation going into the course on a blog from Tulpa Security. And if you've never read that, that's an excellent resource if you're going into the course blind, or if maybe you've ever thought about signing up for the course. Going over Tulpa Security blog for the OSC prep will definitely put you in the right direction.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and take the floor next, Bonju?
Actually, I do have the same answers from what he just mentioned, because how I prepare also with the SLE certifications with 64 bits and 32.
All right, and then go ahead, Docs.
Yeah, I was going to say, to add to that, I think I didn't do the SLAE first, but I think that the biggest thing that to know is assembly, right? So SLAE will definitely walk you through the assembly that's required for the course. I started with Sam's class, the CNET 127. He does that usually annually. The videos are all posted on YouTube. So even if you missed the course itself, you can take those on YouTube. And it was a fantastic introduction to the exploitation, and pretty much everything that you're gonna do in the OSCE is covered.
So our next question here is, how many times would you recommend going through the course material before thinking about scheduling your exam? So why don't we go ahead and start with you, Docs?
I think that's going to kind of vary for everybody. I went through the course material once and was pretty comfortable with it once I was done. But I mean, I think continuing to go through and revisit the areas that maybe you struggled on the first time is probably well worth it. I definitely would recommend, I think, module 7, which is the big exploitation module, is really going to be the one that you're going to want to spend the most time on.
All right, then Bonju?
I think that it's also very dynamic. I mean, like, different person have different kind of learning process. I think that the concept, they have to grasp the concept of what the offsets want to deliver. So if the concept is properly understand or able to know what's the concept, what the offsets want to deliver to us, then I think the exam should be fair enough to be able to do the exams if they're able to grab the concepts.
And last but not least, Mr. Crab.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Could you repeat the question? I couldn't quite hear the...
Yeah, of course. So it's how many times would you recommend going through the course materials before scheduling your exam?
Okay. On that note, I have to agree with both Ducks and Bonju. For me, I went through the course material probably three or four times, but that was really slow, and that was over the course of maybe 2 or 3 weeks. The first time I just kind of glossed over the course material over a weekend, but as you're going through the course, you'll find that there are some concepts and techniques that maybe you didn't really expect you needed to know while going through the course that a lot of the preparation work that you would see from like Tulpa's security blog or Abaci's blog post on how to prepare for the coast course, you'll see in there are some extracurricular concepts that are extremely important to know before going into the course. So again, it's really going to depend on how quickly you can pick up the material or how familiar you are with it going into the course. But if you're not, I would recommend going over it a couple of times, definitely at least twice. But aside from that, that's about all I've got on that.
All right, thanks. So for these future questions, we're just going to go right down the line in terms of, Banjo docs and then Crab, just to keep things in the flow instead of me chiming in. So next question here is, how much hand-holding is there in the course materials, including pointing you to any necessary and useful materials, compared to the OSCP if you did take the course? Banjo, it's on you.
Can you repeat the questions? I'm not able to. I'm not really understanding what the questions was.
Yeah, sure. So basically, how much handholding? So how much did offensive security provide in terms of the materials to help someone who hasn't done binary exploitation? Did they point you the right materials to help you get going if they didn't know what to do? Whereas in the OSCP, sometimes they would provide you some information and some tips in their PDF in the videos. So I guess, is it very similar to that for the OSCE?
Yeah. What offsets was delivered are actually in the exams. What they want is everything in the videos and the PDF. Just grab the concepts properly, make sure that you understand the concept well. I think that you are fair enough to go to sit for that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they did a pretty good job covering it. I like to say that, I learned about as much sorry, my mic's cutting out during the exam as I did the course. But kind of looking back at it, everything that was covered in the course material is absolutely part of the exam. And I think it was more. What I learned during the exam is really due to me not spending as much time in the course materials as I probably should have.
All right, Crab, do you want to answer that or should we just move on?
I kind of have a different perspective on it. So if you have gone through OSCP, you'll know that the exam isn't, it like 100% based off of the course material. There's some extracurricular things that you'll need to know going into the exam for OSCP. Likewise with OSCE, at least this was my personal experience. There were some topics that weren't quite covered in the course, but I mean that were seen in that I saw on the exam. But on that same note, like all of the exam material in some form or another is going to be in the exam. It I don't want to comment too much on the exam, but you may need to do some extra learning is what I'm saying.
All right, thanks for that, guys. So moving on, is writing shell code by hand a necessary skill that you should have for the OSCE?
Yes, it is definitely. In Python, you were required to start a socket on port 80, probably, or some ports to launch the fuzzle and a lot more things. So scripting is a must in OSCE.
I think the question was a little bit more about the shell coding. To answer that directly, shell coding is absolutely a requirement for the OSCE. You can get away with using some of the MSF Venom payloads themselves, but you're still going to be responsible for encoding them, for getting execution to actually launch those payloads. So understanding assembly and understanding.
All right, I think we'll jump to the next question. Sorry, Krav. Some of these are probably just a one-person answer, so we'll have that noted for the future. So this one should probably be answered by all three of you. This is related to the exam. Bear in mind, it's you can't really speak too much in terms of the exam hosts and everything. But with that being said, how much more tiring was this exam for you since it was a 48-hour exam compared to the OSCP, which is 24 hours? So if you took the OSCP and the OSE, definitely chime in. Any different strategies that you used in regards to time management for this exam versus the OSCP?
In OSCP, it took me around 12 hours to complete my exams, but whereby OSCE, it took me around 30 hours to complete my exams, and it's kind of tough, and I'm not able to sleep. Lack of sleep is around. I just took like 5 hours of sleep in 2 days. I mean, like total of 5 hours of sleeps. So I think that. And I'll firstly look for the highest marks to score my exams, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that's going to be based on the experience going in, right? For the OSCP, I didn't know what to expect. I would say that took me about 12. Excuse me, so, similar time frames to Bonju. Sleeping is definitely a challenge when you have problems that are on your mind, but it's definitely something that's necessary. If you don't plan for taking those brain breaks, you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to be tired, and you're going to hit your head against the wall and just kind of spin in circles on the challenges. So plan for the sleep.
My exam experience was not easy. It was not an easy exam for me. I did pass it on the first try, but it took me right around the full 48 hours to go through it. And I did not complete any of the exam objectives on the first day. And as a matter of fact, it got me so stressed out. I went out downtown with my friends and got completely obliterated that first night. And I definitely would not recommend doing that. But I do think it is important to note that you should absolutely take breaks if and when you get stuck. You gotta find some way to just like take yourself out of that exam experience, at least for a little bit, so you can come back with a fresh mind. And doing that definitely helped me. I crushed everything on the second day. But yeah, you have to know when to step away and when to take a break.
All right, so moving on to our next question here. Now that you've taken the OSCE course and the exam, have you found to a large degree, the transferability between the knowledge that you've gained from the course and the exam into real life? So if you're in the field, how often are you using what you've learned from the course and the exam?
I think that I'm not qualified to answer these questions because I'm still a bachelor student. I'm still doing my degree.
Sure. I'm not using it that much, not as much as I would have hoped to. I think I got cut off earlier when I was doing the intro. I am a senior security consultant, so I do expect that I'll be spending more time doing binary exploitation, but our organization has an entire research division, so it's not something that I have to spend a lot of time on. However, I do quite frequently disassemble code that I'm looking at and things that I'm working on. So being able to kind of understand and follow through with what's happening is definitely been valuable to me.
I had a little bit of a different takeaway from the course than many people do. So I looked at the course as kind of like a jumping off point into different like topics of interest that are, I think, still relevant to pen testing and red teaming, such as learning how to bypass antivirus, you know, when you're faced with a mitigation, you know, coming up with ways to get around that mitigation. There's some aspects of the course that I think are still relevant. It's just the specific techniques taught in the course may not be. But if you're going into OSCE, that's what I would treat the course as, at least until it potentially gets updated, is look at it as a jumping off point into those different topics.
All right. Our next question here is how to find what to fuzz in software. So, you know, what's your methodology to keep in mind while you're doing the fuzzing of any software or network protocols?
The methodology, I think, that is more on the input types that, let's say, something like you can input more. I mean, is not expected. I mean, the developers might not expecting that we can fuzz the string out of how many characters. I don't know, but the methodology is more on like look at the input tabs, try to fuzz and try to make it crash and something. That's my methodologies. Yeah,
I mean, for me, it's trying to put myself in the mind of the person that developed it, right? What are they thinking about? You know, they're trying to you know, get their protocol to just where are they likely to rely on a framework or rely on their standard development practices to put code in. Those are the areas that they're probably not doing a lot of checking, and where I'm gonna spend time focusing on, right? Obviously, if there's string parsing in there, or if you can identify, some ability to where the protocol itself is announcing how many bytes to be expecting. That's very common in binary protocols is to kind of preface the data that you send with how many bytes that you're sending. Well, what if I change that, or what if I can tamper with that? So trying to analyze the protocol and understand what the fields are and which fields are most likely to break. Unfortunately, that really just comes with doing it and kind of a little bit of experience.
Yep, I totally agree with both of those. One thing I would maybe take a step further, if you're looking at something that you haven't seen before, or like an application stack or a protocol that you haven't seen before, there's likely going to be a request for comments file that's out on either, I think, IETF or IEEE, one of the two. You'll be able to look up that RFC for like a given file format or a given protocol. And the goal with fuzzing is you want to replicate, you want to start with replicating what would be like normal legitimate usage or normal legitimate traffic for your given target for fuzzing. And then like DocsAVG and Bonju said, next step you want to do is just look for all of the inputs, look for the different, sizes or the different areas where, things have an expectation for a certain length or a certain, font formatting or encoding, and you want to go from there.
All right, so we have about two more questions left, and then we'll open it up to general questions here in the chat, and Yeah, with that being said, so moving on, what resources, if any, helped you the most during your prep for the OSCE for binary exploitation?
If not mistaken, his name's called Captain Milo, I think. His resources talk about the antivirus evasions, and beside that, there is also called Humbro, I think. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's very famous on GitHub, and he have a lot of resources about the SCH exploit or Fuzzle, and yeah, practice more. Look for ExploitDB, look for similarities, practice, and go for exams. Yeah, that's how I did.
Yeah, I touched on it earlier. Sam's class, CNIT 127, can't speak highly enough for it. He teaches to the Shellcoder's Handbook, which is another fantastic book. Corelan also has some fantastic resources on their website, that are very specific to Windows, and definitely overlap with a lot of the concepts taught during the course. So, those two were really my prep and what I did before taking the course.
With me, likewise, like Banju, I very heavily did a lot of reading on Ombre and Captain Milo's blogs. So I don't think it's worthwhile for me to really like reiterate that. But I will say, if this is like something that you want to get more into and look more in depth, we have a pin in the OSCE general channel with a lot of course relevant materials.
And just for any reference for that Ombre, it's a H0MBRE on GitHub for any of those who are chiming in to the recording later and trying to find the link. So our last and final pre-selected question before we open up to the chat task, there's after is how much programming knowledge is required for the course and the exam, and what languages are probably best to study up on for those who are looking to take the course.
Firstly, shellcoding is an important task when it comes to exploitation. Beside that, what I use, I liked Python to start this kind of exploit. Yeah, so I think Python and shellcodings are important.
Yeah, I'll plus one to both of those. Python it makes your life easier. I actually went into this knowing more Ruby than Python, and that was more of my background from a scripting perspective. Really, just converted over to Python. It was a lot easier to follow the coursework and to find examples online using it.
Python is for sure something that you want to be familiar with going into the course. Definitely assembly as well. But I would also add maybe some familiarity with C and system calls. But beyond that, some of the course exercises make use of Perl. And if you've never seen Perl language before, it might look a little weird at first. So might want to at least like get familiar with some of the basic syntax with Perl as well.
All right, so that concludes our pre-selected questions, and now for anyone, feel free to ask some questions in the chat channel here, and I'll pick them out as we go. So our first question here is, what's next after the OSCE for any of you that have taken it? So feel free to chime in if you'd like to answer that. Otherwise, we'll move on from the question after it's been answered.
I'm actually preparing for OSWE.
Yeah, I think for me, OSEE is where I'm looking to go. I started down the OSWE. It's not really my forte. I'll definitely finish that course, but OSEE is really where my interest lies at this point.
I'm also looking at OSWE. I'll be starting the course in a couple of hours, but beyond that, I may or may not be doing PTX at some point in the near future by eLearn Security. But beyond that, it's about all.
All right. Next question here is, how did obtaining your OSCE help you in your future career?
Well, I have no right to say that. I'm still a student, but I receive a lot of job offers from companies. Yeah, I think it's a good certifications from.
Yeah, I can't say that it's made any noticeable impact. But I've only switched jobs once since getting it, and it wasn't really a requirement.
Yeah, as far as on the job, I don't really think OSCE has made too much of a difference from knowledge that I had before, but I can absolutely say it's made a difference with the amount of requests for connecting that I get on LinkedIn. So like after I got OSCP, you know, there was, you know, steady growth of interest from recruiters, but after I got OSCE, there was a lot of interest from recruiters, and mostly recruiters from very big companies, like ones that like Google, Facebook, etc. So you may want to consider OSCE just for that.
So is the OSCE heavily Windows-based, Linux-based, or both?
Windows-based.
All right, simple enough. So any practice labs that you might have done, through VulnHub, Vuln Server, from GitHub, or things on Hack the Box?
I did a lot of practice. Vuln Server is one of it. And actually, I do have one GitHub that I actually share a lot of practices. Search for Actor Boys if you want. I mean, there's a lot of resources there. I have uploaded to for practice purposes, and actually, there's no extra miles there.
For me, yes, Vuln Server was a huge part of it. But yeah, this may seem kind of crazy, but you know, when you're actually going through the preparation for OSCE, you have the skills to find 0 days. You know, they may not be like the latest greatest, you know, 64-bit Windows 10 like SMBV 3.0 day, but you definitely have the skills to start looking for 0 days, and that can, one, build up your resume, but two, it can help you prepare for the course as well.
Yeah, for me, I went to ExploitDB and just looked for a number of Windows vulnerabilities that either didn't have exploits or did, and just pulled those executables down and tried to rebuild the exploit myself without looking at the existing code.
So it hasn't been a question that's asked in chat here, but I will spin a question off of it. So for anyone who's about to be taking their exam pretty soon, you know, what recommendations and tips do you have for them?
Well, try harder. Nah. I think that the concepts have to be very solid, understanding, and do more research.
Get lots of sleep. Make sure you've got your snack pile ready for the long haul. And yeah, get more sleep. You're going to want it.
All right. We'll go ahead and move on. So what's your methodology for finding any 0 days with your newfound OSCE knowledge?
I doesn't have much methodologies. I mean, like, what I learned in OSCE will be my methodologies. So like studying from Fuzzle, looks for input tabs, look for any protocols that seems able to exploit. I mean,
yeah, I don't think I have much to add to that. I think that was a about the right answer.
Yeah, if you want to like baby step your way into that field, there's a lot of applications that are really old, but they're still in use in places and haven't been updated in like 5+ years. So start with older software that hasn't been updated in a long time. That's probably the easiest way to get your foot into the zero day sector. But at some point you'll hit a wall with your knowledge, especially from OSCE. There, you will absolutely hit a wall in terms of modern mitigations and modern architectures. So be prepared for a very long learning journey if you want to get more heavily into it. But starting with old software and working your way up to more modern one is probably the best way to go about doing it.
All right, so it looks like that's it in terms of the questions here in the chat. If there is nothing else, we'll go ahead and call it a day with our Ask Me Anything for our OSCE certified members here. And if that is the case, then we'll go ahead and open up voice chat for everyone. So if they want to stick around, they can chat with you guys. If you're willing to stick around, otherwise, if you're okay with it, they might just message you here on the server or in one of the OSCE channels down below. With that being said, thank you everyone who's attended. But we'll have the recording up pretty soon on the InfoSec Prep podcast. And thanks everyone. Have a good day.
Okay, have a good day.